Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It offers flexible spending capacity that adapts to your business. You can also earn up to $395 in annual statement credits on eligible purchases at select business merchants. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Freaking first cut. Golly!
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gaiman, and this is your round three recap for this week's Sony Open. And joining me to break it all down, Sia Najad is here. Sia, welcome. Happy Saturday.
What am I doing here on a round three recap? I'm actually super happy to be here. There's a lot going on, but honestly, for me, it's mainly golf because you guys know I watch some NFL, but I don't think there's an NFL game going on right now, or at least not one that passes for an NFL game.
I watched a little bit of it and it got out of hand early and I said, well, time to go back and watch some golf. Producer Jacob stepping out from the shadows, coming on stage. Producer Jacob, so stoked to have you here.
What's up? You mentioned an NFL game. I think it is going on. And, you know, I took the Patriots in a teaser, so I don't feel like a total idiot, but I still feel like a little bit of an idiot. So, you know, that's where I'm currently at. Well, just need them to lose by 10.
If anybody wants to monitor that crash and burn, the first cut, we bring it all to you. And in the reflection behind me, there is that game going on. So you're welcome. We've got it all here for you on the first cut round.
On CBS. So you're just really surrounded by great CBS programming.
That's right.
How about some golf? Russell Henley, our 36-hole leader, still our 54-hole leader, this time two shots clear of the chase pack. And it was a little bit of a slow start for Russell out of the gate here, Sia, but he started to figure it out. He got settled down. He made birdies on 15 and 17, and now it's just another opportunity to sleep on the lead and potentially get his second Sony Open victory.
Yeah, but there's, you know, it's funny. It was quite the stumble, in my opinion. Obviously, he made up for it a little bit there, but I mean, if you just look at the metrics, it wasn't really the best look for him. And I think there's enough guys behind him, guys that I like, guys that we've talked about on the first cut for a few weeks now that are kind of some of the up-and-comer guys, some old guys like Matt Kuchar. I think my impression here is that he's going to get caught.
I think he looked a little uncomfortable, Jacob. I think, you know, the tweet that you put out was perfect, right, where on 13 he's 30 yards short of the pin. There's a greenside bunker 8 yards in front of him, and he dumps it right in there like I would do every single time. It was the most relatable shot of golf I've seen already in this 2022 year, but that's the kind of stuff that he's going to battle on Sunday as everybody else is trying to chase him down.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's been getting it done this week off the tee, and there was definitely some times today where he didn't look like he was getting it done off the tee, and the approach game also failed him a little as well, coming up short on that hole, which was, I can't remember what hole that was, but yeah, he looked exactly like us, which is just lay the sod over the ball. Yes. And put it into the bunker. And then he ended up not looking like us because he ended up going up and down and saving par, I think. So
yeah, that's the thing. The gap from his worst shot he's probably ever hit to the very next shot, which is just an absolutely filthy, you know, get it back there and manage to get out with too much damage is why we are not professionals. But this is now two straight weeks, Sia, where the scoring's just been kind of crazy. Another record setting week. This week was the lowest cut in Sony Open history. Without wind on these golf courses, the professionals just absolutely destroy them.
Yeah, that's the thing. And, you know, last week it was tough because there weren't a lot of pitfalls, and there's not a lot of pitfalls here. Fortunately, the chase pack here is abundant. But yeah, man, it's definitely a scoring fest, which is why I said that, you know, with Henley, it's just not really a good look in terms of like looking at the metrics and the score, because, you know, if you're not, I mean, 3 under in round three, I mean, just that's not going to do. I mean, granted, I think the scores, you correct me if I'm wrong, but the scores in round three were a little bit lower than the prior 2 days, but still that's not going to get it done. So if he comes out and shoots that again tomorrow, he's not winning this thing.
Yeah, the field was about a stroke and a half under par on Saturday. So Russell Henley gains about a shot and a half on the field. But it was Hideki Matsuyama who goes out and shoots a 63, producer Jacob, and he's only moved up three spots on the leaderboard. But this felt like the biggest move. Got four shots better in terms of his relation to Russell Henley, and he's doing it in a way that we don't normally see. He is rolling absolutely every single putt in, which is very, very scary stuff for the rest of the field.
It is. It's actually, I think we're seeing great Hideki today. You see him with the one-handed club finish, and the balls the ball ends up 20 feet from the hole. The only difference is he's actually rolling in that 20-foot putt. He is currently, for the week, gaining more strokes on the green than he is approach, off the tee, around the green, tee to green combined, which, you know, we all know that when Hideki does that, Hideki's probably going to win. And the odds reflect that whenever we get there. I mean, he's pretty much the only person within a sniff of Henley here. So if Henley has another bad day, then I think Hideki realistically is the only person that can catch him.
Nearly 6.5 strokes gained with the putter on the week. And Sia, to put that into perspective, so obviously we were only three rounds into this event. Hideki's best tournament ever for full rounds, 6.55 strokes gained with the putter at the Players' Championship. So if he stopped right now, this would be the second best putting week of his career. Obviously, there's a chance that he loses strokes with the flat stick on Sunday, but we are literally seeing a ceiling Hideki.
Yeah, I just wonder if he can do it again. Because, I mean, if you just isolate round three, he almost gained four strokes putting. Last I checked the live leaderboard. And I just feel like, listen, off the tee and approach hasn't really been bad. I mean, he's gaining a significant amount off the tee, not really on approach. I just wonder, you know, can Hideki, he's done it for 3 days. I just wonder if he can do it for a fourth day. Gaining four strokes in round three with the putter, it's not exactly the formula I'm looking for in terms of finding my leader. I mean, if anything, obviously Svensson hasn't been super impressive either when you look at the metrics, particularly in round three. But guys like Seamus Power, I mean, Seamus Power had another nice day. And I feel like he's a guy that's kind of one of those middling names that we've talked about on the first cut quite a bit. I know he's four strokes back, but it wouldn't shock me if he came back and won this thing. In terms of how consistency he's going and another bogey-free day, it just seems like he's the guy that might be able to catch one of these top guys.
The group at 14 is interesting. So Russell Henley, 18 under, two shots clear for Hideki Matsuyama. He's at 16 under. Then we've got a handful at 14, Adam Svensson, Seamus Power, Matt Kuchar, and Hao Tong Li, Jacob. That's not a name that we have necessarily uttered often on the First Cut podcast as of late. He doesn't even have status on the PGA Tour right now. He's playing on a sponsor's exemption, and he is just trying to ride a hot week, potentially earn as many points, as much money, potentially parlay this into more and more starts.
Yeah, I kind of got a little bit of a flashback to the PGA Championship. I don't know if anyone's like checked on him. I mean, the fact that they're in Hawaii means that he could be out on the range tonight until like, you know, 3 a.m. realistically. But I mean, I think it was the putter that's pretty much been getting it done for him lately. And the most interesting thing about Hao Tong is I noticed on one of the post-round interviews, they asked him about his glasses. He's rocking glasses now, you know, instead of contacts. And
you're a glasses wearer, Jacob. You have the perfect insight on this.
I know. And isn't your wife an optometrist?
She is. Yes.
So she might have also a good insight as well. But, you know, for me personally, it's because COVID happened. I got lazy. I didn't go to the eye doctor when my contact subscription ran out. I think it was a similar story with him. He was just, you know, saying that they were making his eyes dry. I can't say that my putting's improved since, you know, switching over to the glasses full time, but, you know, I think it worked a little bit for Hao Tong. I saw him rolling in some long ones today.
He was throwing, it was weird. He hit a couple of shots that were absolute darts, and then he hit a couple of approaches that missed by 40 yards. Like, he was just all over the place, but when he gets it going, it's exciting. Fun fact, I don't like to touch my eyeballs, so contact lenses have never been, I can't stand that. So I did glasses for a long time. I did contacts for just a little bit, and I finally said, I can't do this anymore, and I got LASIK done, which is the next step. That's what we saw JT do.
I couldn't do LASIK. I couldn't sit there Because you're fully awake, right? And someone's just shining a laser in your eye.
You're aware of what's happening. Yes.
Real quick, guys. Okay, first of all, Rick, newsflash, everybody hates touching their eyeball. Like, that's a thing that everybody
people
hates.
People seem to do it a lot for not liking it.
Well, no, but the thing is, like, when you first try it, like, your first, like, 10 or 20 revolutions of trying that, it's really frustrating and annoying, and I hated it. And I walked out. This is when I was a kid. I walked out, and I literally left without contact lenses because the doctor was like, you obviously can't handle this, so you're just going to wear glasses.
Yeah, I think I had that same experience, but I was, like, 25 at the time, so it was a little bit a little bit different than maybe your situation was. Okay, gentlemen, let's look at the odds and talk about who has a chance to win this golf tournament with 18 holes to go. But first, we're going to take a quick break and hear a word from our partners.
It's a really fine line creating workout clothes that are great in the gym and workout clothes that are also great to look at outside the gym. And Vuori has threaded that needle. They are designed to work out in, but they don't look like it. They don't feel like it. And it's incredibly comfortable stuff, whether you are running, training, swimming, doing yoga, running errands, lounging around the house. It really doesn't matter. These are versatile clothes. You'll find me often in the men's Sunday performance jogger because I like the jogger situation that goes on down at the bottom, but they're very comfortable. They've got a little bit of a shorter inseam, so they're not as bulky as other pants or other joggers that I have seen out there. And I've really enjoyed how they work both in and out of the gym. So now here's what you can do for our listeners. First-time purchasers are getting 20% off. All you have to do is go to Vuori.com/first. That's Vuori.com/first. Again, not only will you receive 20% off your first order, but enjoy free shipping on any U.S. orders over $75. And here's my favorite part, free returns. Yeah, go check it out. Vuori.com/first and discover the versatility of Vuori clothing.
And we're back. We'll flip over to Caesars Sportsbook and kind of a similar situation to what we saw on, what would that have been? Friday night, Jacob, where Russell Henley was close enough to a coin flip. Now, straight up, even money, plus 100 for Russell Henley to win the Sony Open. He is two shots clear of Hideki Matsuyama at plus 225. And then everybody else is 14-1 or longer. Mark Immelman was very keen on Hideki when we talked about him after round two. Now after round three, much shorter odds, in much better position to try to steal this thing away if Russell Henley does falter.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see how it's not Russell Henley or Hideki Matsuyama. I guess the game that I'd like you guys to play that we always play this time of the week is how far back is too far back. And I mean, I think that line's 14 under, right?
Like, it's only the 14s because there's too many of them.
Which stinks because I would like Kisner. I mean, I was looking through my pre-week notes and I just wrote, you know, Kisner course ? And decent Kisner course, but you know, yeah, I think the 14 unders are really what you're looking at. And if it wasn't for a Hal Tong blow up on the 16th hole where he's taking it over a multi-million dollar lanai.
That's a nice looking place. Yeah. The thing with the 14 unders is there's four of them, right? So I would love to say Cam Davis is still in this thing if he goes out and shoots a 62, but then you're talking about him not only making up six shots on Russell Henley, four shots on Hideki Matsuyama, but too many guys in between him and the top of the leaderboard, Sia. So when I look at this, the path to a non-Henley, non-Hideki winner is kind of more of what we saw from Russell Henley for the first 12 or 13 holes on Saturday, where he kind of struggles, he's stuck in the mud a little bit, and then Hideki does not gain three strokes with the putter. That's the path for the 14s to get back into this thing.
Yeah, and I only think there's a couple that can do it. I don't think Hao Tong Li and Adam Svensson can get back into this thing. So I really think it's a four-horse race. Obviously, it's a two-horse race. But if, to your point, if they falter, I think Matt Kuchar and Seamus Power are definitely in this thing. The way Seamus Power has been, his putter hasn't been great through the three rounds, but he's been striking the ball really well. If he finds a hot putter all of a sudden, continues to strike it really well, and suddenly Henley and particularly Hideki aren't hot with the putter, like, we know that that's certainly possible. I absolutely think Power could close the gap and then be on the back nine. Maybe he's two back or one back and we're having a much different conversation. But to me, there's four guys in play here and that's it.
Yeah, Justin Reid had some stats about short courses this week and how it sets up for Kisner, and Matt Kuchar 6th in the field strokes gained tee to green this week. So something to note for the future is that older guys, shorter hitters can get it around here.
Guys, guess who is leading the field tee to green through 3 rounds? Please don't look it up. I mean, it's obvious.
I think I already saw it.
I mean, it's obvious. It's the guy who's always leading tee to green.
Yeah, but he's losing like a million strokes putting, right?
Because he always loses a million strokes putting, yes.
It's Kyle Stanley then, right?
Kyle Stanley has gained 8.3 strokes tee to green, and he's lost almost 6 strokes with the putter. Worst and best in the field. Standard Kyle Stanley.
That's a great way to make a career on the PGA Tour.
It is. Amazing. But do you think, Jacob, if you subbed in for Kyle Stanley this week, you putted for Kyle Stanley this week,
yes,
you would be better than 32nd right now, which is where he is?
I don't think I could be worse.
I don't think you could be. I'm legitimately serious. Could.
And I'm terrible at putting. Like I try to track my own stats, and that's absolute. Like I'm a Kyle Stanley. I flush it.
You're a Kyle
absolute flusher. But I still probably could putt better than the professional golfer. Yeah.
We'll have to set that up one of these days. We'll have to figure out a way to do that.
Hey, anyway. Kyle, if Kyle's going to be at the PGA show, we're going to be out there in 2 weeks. So we'll go find a putting green. Yeah.
You love it. Absolutely love it. We'll live stream it. That'll do it for the round 3 recap of the Sony Open. We'll be back, of course, after the final round to break all of the things that we love down for you live. But for now, let me thank Sia Najad, who you can find on Twitter at Sia Najad. Let me thank producer Jacob, not only doing the hard work behind the scenes, but the hard work in front of the scenes at Jacob_Hallux on Twitter. And you can find me at Rick Run Good. This has been The First Cut, and we'll catch you next time.
Streaming on Paramount Plus. Gather your besties.
We are very exclusive.
And get ready.
Mom, go make snacks.
For sure, Regina, yeah.
For the movie that hits like a bus. In a good way.
No one died.
Mean Girls.
Rated PG-13.
Now streaming on Paramount Plus.